You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Chwaba.
Damn right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Nightlight. We are about to start Act 2. We had a really fun first hour talking about summer songs and hearing a little bit of Chastity Washington's comedy. She is my guest right now. Matt Miller will be along at 7:20. And if you want to get your answer to our question, and please do it quickly because Matt's segment was pre-recorded, so we won't be here reading texts for the last quarter of the show or so. So if you get it in quickly, I can still read it. Right now, we've got a few more minutes with our guest, Chastity Washington. She is a Milwaukee-based stand-up comedian and also a teacher and former college athlete. She probably does nails and practices law, all kinds of stuff. I don't know what you're up to there, Chastity, but you're a Renaissance girl for sure. So let me ask you this. When you were growing up, who are your influences for comedy? And it seems like, you know, back in the 80s and 70s, there weren't as many Black women doing stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. Did you have influences in that respect, or were they kind of the same influences everybody had, or both?
I had a mix of everything with everybody. Of course, for me, Whoopi Goldberg was absolutely a picture of, hey, that's what I want to do. Nice. Seeing her one woman show in 1985 for me was wow, watermark moment. Nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where like that's possible. You know, it gives when you see it, you can achieve it. So that was that for me. But I was always like a student, not knowing I was a student, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So my mom would always have me watch. We watched a lot of old films. So I loved everything. I loved Bob Hope. I loved Lucille Ball. Lily Tomlin is everything for me,
great,
right? Just her influence. Jerry Lewis, right? Yeah, so many. Moms Mabley, of course, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, Bill Cosby, even amidst all of the controversy.
Right.
Rickles, right? Right? Oh, my God. Hilarious, right?
Absolutely.
So I was a fan of stand-up. I loved Robin Williams. I loved Howie Mandel. I remember even seeing Ellen DeGeneres when I was a kid. I watched so much stand-up because I just liked stand-up, right?
Right.
The stuff was hilarious to me, not knowing that it was, you know, planting seeds for this possibility for me. I never even, like I said, stand-up really found me. You know what I mean?
Nice,
I just happened
yeah.
to be. You know, so but I liked I learned something from everyone. Everyone has little jewels that have dropped on me, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And I can totally relate to that because long before I ever knew I wanted to go into show business or stand-up comedy, I had Bill Cosby albums. I had mm-hmm. Steve Martin albums. Then it was
yes.
Eddie Murphy. And then I discovered
yep.
George Carlin when I got older. So... Yeah, we take all these little things and it becomes part of our, you know, our fabric, so to speak, in comedy. Who do you like now, Chastity? Like, who are you looking at? Like, let's say you're watching TV late at night and you're flipping around mm-hmm. and a comedian is on. Who are you not turning off?
I don't watch a whole lot of stand-up just due to the work to keep, you know, you keep your maintaining your
sure.
integrity. You can respect other people's work, but maintaining your voice and your integrity. But who do I just love? I think Deon Cole's incredible. Blessed to get a chance to work with him years ago. I love Jim Gaffigan. Mm. Bill Burr.
Oh, Bill's great. What about Brian Regan? You ever work with Regan? Brian Regan?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't. And who else? Who else? I love Leanne Morgan. Miss Pat. I love Miss Pat. Who else is and there's so many other comics that I'd like know personally, you know what I mean?
Right.
That I think are awesome. You know, I think Damon Williams is incredible. I just, you know, just one of the best working, like, period.
You just gave me a whole bunch of people I need to research, because some of them I haven't even heard of. So
Marlon Hill, who is a dear friend of mine, and a brother, Chris Barnes, who I think I'm sure you know.
Milwaukee guy, yeah, sure.
Yes. Chris is a master, man. Just a master.
Yeah.
Just a master comic. Like, it's not even another comedian who is absolutely hysterical. His name is LeVar Walker. Ali Sadiq. Lord have mercy. Hilarious.
Brian Green still doing stand up in Milwaukee?
Yes, he is.
All right. We had a very brief Facebook exchange like a year ago, but I didn't ask him mm-hmm. about stand up. We just kind of said hello. So if you see him, tell him I made a point not to say hi to him. No, I'm kidding.
Right. okay.
All right. So where can people see you, Chastity, live? Do you have any dates coming up around Milwaukee or Wisconsin?
I do. I have my one woman show, which I self-produced for the last 20 or so years. It will be at the In Tandem Co-op Theater in Milwaukee on 10th Street. These next three weekends. So Friday, May 16th.
Oh, great.
Saturday, May 24th, and Saturday, May 31st.
Okay.
All shows are at 7:30. I'll be at the Milwaukee Improv on June 8th. It's Sunday, June 8th. You can go to my Instagram and pull tickets, get the ticket links. You can go to my website, chastitywashington.com.
Perfect.
So yeah, you can do that. Listen to my podcast. I got a couple podcasts.
Yeah, so, wow, look at you.
Yeah, my newest podcast is Testimony with Chastity Washington, and that is freshly new, fresh out the oven on Spotify. So people can also pull that link from my Instagram page or from chastitywashington.com. But come to Evening of Expression at In Tandem Co-op Theater. That is a full stage play and full stand up. It's a full show. People will really,
Very
really
nice.
be blown away when they get a chance to see it, because it's full scale and two completely separate portions of the show. So the first act is really deep and thought provoking, and then of course the second act is great fun and great stand up. So
that is outstanding. Yeah. Also check out Live at Dandy on YouTube, Tubi or Prime. You can check her out on our live show. Go to her website, chastitywashington.com. Follow her on socials. She's a very, very talented comedian, and I'm glad to have met you tonight. Thank you so much for taking time to be on the show.
I thank you. I thank you so much for having me, and blessings to you. It's great to meet you.
You too. We'll do it again soon, and keep teaching those kids. Don't steer them on the wrong tracks. Keep them on the straight and narrow.
I will.
Thank you, Chastity. Have a great night. That's Chastity Washington.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah, thank you. She's got a lot. You could lose yourself in all things Chastity Washington. Podcasts, website, her own special, and a live show in Milwaukee. That is outstanding. That just shows you how out of touch I am with the stand-up world. She's like a legend in Milwaukee doing all this cool stuff, and I don't know what's going on. I used to have my finger on the pulse, Conrad.
Now you just sit and watch TV. That's
now it. I watch TV. And you know what? I actually love TV. So I watch a little television, and it's a lot of fun. So, all right, Matt Miller coming up at 7:20. Let's get to some texts here. Our question of the night was, what is your favorite summer song? Jameson in Pennsylvania, he's in the 814, says, This Is the Day by The. I forgot about that band. He says, it reminds me of summer and being young, careless, and in love. Being out all night with friends and having confidence that life will never suck. That is what great songs do for all of us. It makes us just... It fills our spirit with confidence and lust for life. Great stuff, Jameson. He says, or El Scorcho by Weezer. I don't know that song. I know Island in the Sun. I like that one. Yeah. Conrad's trying to get my attention. Is there anything okay? Is there a fire?
I did just give you some information. All right.
Jameson says, actually, I'll come start some food in a minute, then talk to her. So it's working. Sorry, Pete. Last he texted us the wrong text.
It sounded like voice text.
Jameson said, actually, I'll come and start some food in a minute, then talk to her. So it's working. Jameson, whatever chaos is happening in your life, I hope it works out for you, buddy, because you're a great listener.
Go eat some food.
And a great texter. Yeah, go eat some food. We don't want to get you in trouble. Tom from New Berlin says, washing my first car. Sherry from Horicon says, so many. Annie from Watertown says, yes, love and spoonful. Couldn't think quick. I think Summer in the City is our big winner so far tonight. Brian in Milwaukee says, At Last by Etta James. I assume that's what he meant and not At Least, which is, I assume, a typo because I don't think Etta James ever sang a song called At Least. But At Last, great song, Brian. Love it. He says it was featured in Pleasantville. The soundtrack is amazing.
Pleasantville is awesome.
I've actually never seen the whole thing all the way through.
I watched it and I loved it.
All right. Sherry says, Sherry from Oregon says, yes, in terms, I think she was responding to
something. For Conclave and we're...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. The Pope one and the attorney. Tom from the 414, listening to Tom Petty. Yes, I think I read that. Nick from Marshall says, Three Little Birds or Jamming by Bob Marley and the Wailers, I'm sorry. Also, I Can See Clearly Now by Jimmy Cliff, Happy by Farrell, and Here Comes the Sun, yes. By the Beatles. Richie Havens has a great version of that song as well. He says, bet you can tell I'm a big music enthusiast and fan. Absolutely can. Thank you, Nick, for the text. PJ on the stream says, DJ Jazzy Jeff, Summertime. Another great one. Thank you, PJ. Steady Eddie, he's in the 608. We all know Steady Eddie. He says, Pete, I'm declaring today with the sunshine and 80-degree temperatures in Madison, my first day of summer. Two of my favorite summer songs are the 1967 song Brown Eyed Girl by Van Morrison and Frank Sinatra's version of Summer Wind. Another great one. I forgot about that one. Pete, this is Wisconsin, so I recommend you don't put your flannel sheets away yet unless you're brave and willing to live dangerously. Yeah, I'm not going to do that yet, Steady Eddie. No way. And I'm not going to eat in bed. And I will religiously wash my sheets every... I encourage it, folks. You can get like all kinds of stuff from dirty sheets. Right?
You know, there's crumbs everywhere on my bed, so I just, you know.
You just wallow in the food of your plated sheets. Conrad's mom checks in and says, anything by the Beach Boys. As usual, I am in perfect sync with Conrad's parents. Could not agree more, Paula. Thank you for the text. And Bridget in the 818 says, Summer Nights from Greece. Yes. I listen to that every summer. When I hear it, I can hear the waves of the ocean and feel the warm sun just like in Greece. Awesome, Bridget. Thank you. Barb from Waukesha says, Bill Burr has a beautiful wife. I saw her on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Was Bill Burr's wife on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
I mean, if she was, that sucks for him.
You think it lowers his Q rating or something? I think he's pretty safe. That's great. Thank you, Barb. Thank you all for your texts. We have some pre-recorded content. My interview with Matt Miller that we did right before the show. It's all fresh. It's all movie talk. And you will learn a lot talking to Matt Miller. He is coming up next after this very short break. And then, of course, the news. Join me tomorrow night when we have museum talk with our pal Greg Vadney from the Rar West Museum in Manitowoc and Jennifer Kronk from the Baraboo Circus Museum. Fun stuff tomorrow night, too. We're coming right back. Don't leave. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Whatever you do, you love me, you hate me, you know me, and then you can figure out the bag I'm in.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
That's right, folks. It seems like, anyway, summer is actually here, but who knows? Maybe we'll get snow in a week, but I think we're in good shape. It seems like we've gotten past the terrible terrible spring we've had.
Let's hope.
So hopefully, yeah, exactly. Hopefully the weather sticks with us. All right. And what better way to talk about summer with Milwaukee's a great summer town. There's a lot going on there. So what better way to ring in the summer when it comes to entertainment than with some summer movie talk with our pal and Milwaukee film critic, Matt Miller, who joins us from Milwaukee over the stream. Hey, buddy.
Hey, howdy. How you doing?
Dude, that beard is looking good. I don't think it was that full last time you were here.
I think it is a combination of the camera and the lighting in here, because okay. I swear, I too am kind of marveling at it right now, but it is genuinely not that impressive. But I will say, part of this is it is the Admirals right now. They are in the postseason, the Milwaukee Admirals okay. AHL team. And they just clinched their way out of the division semifinals, and they're on their way to the division finals now. So hopefully this beard just gets even more Smith Brothers looking as we go along.
That's great. Smith Brother. Who are the Smith Brothers? I'm totally...
That was the medicine guys, right? I'm going to look up that reference and make sure I
immediately went... I watched Speed Racer over the weekend, Matt, from 2008.
Oh, yeah. Feels like a lot of people are watching that these days.
Well, then my son, it's one of his favorite movies, too. So I had never seen it. I thought, all right, I got to give this a watch. So the two of us watched it, and it's the Wachowski siblings that made it.
Yeah.
And I forgot about that, too. But what a weird movie. I don't know if you've seen it or how long it's
been.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it since it's been reclaimed, because people forget that came out the year of 2008. That came out the summer of Dark Knight. Iron yeah. Man, one of the game-changing summer movie season.
Yeah.
And Speed Racer was famously kind of the bomb of that summer movie season. It did really poorly, was really expensive. Obviously, the Wachowskis were still coming off of kind of the Matrix buzz. But, and, you know, now, several years later, people watch Speed Racer and they're like, no, they were doing incredible things with this movie. And visually, 100%, that movie is true eye candy. Even, wow. I mean, basically 17 years later, I still don't love, like, it still is, some of the stuff with, like, Chim Chim and,
oh, yeah.
Right, that's the monkey character, and, like, right. The tone of that movie, like, the comedy in Speed Racer doesn't work for me, but if you're going for just pure sensory, you know, a pure sensory experience, Speed Racer. What a trip.
it really was. And I had issues with it. I didn't love it, but everything my son liked about it, I really liked. Like, he loves the family aspect of it and mm-hmm. like some of the action scenes, but it was chaotic and crazy. Like with the background or CGI or whatever it was like a live action animated film. So I guess they had to have yeah. the monkey in there if they were going to stay true to the cartoon, but that just kind of took me out of it at times. But overall, yeah, fun watch.
No. And I mean, at the time that was like, I remember seeing that movie in the theater and being like, I'm going to get a headache from this.
Yeah.
The characters
right.
are spinning. The background is spinning. There's five things going on the screen at once. And I think maybe in 2025, you know, our brains have caught up to what that movie was trying to do in terms of the amount of stuff being jammed onto the screen in Speed Racer. The Wachowskis, yeah. always ahead of their time.
Right.
And sometimes that works out well in the case of The Matrix, and other times it doesn't work out in the case of Speed Racer. But time has now caught up to Speed Racer, it seems.
Yeah, it's interesting. And that's a great point. And I think, to me, The Matrix doesn't hold up as much. Like, I don't like it as much as when I saw it the first time. Like, I loved it, but I watched it probably 3 or 4 years ago, and I was like, it seems a... I don't know. But I loved Bound, what they did, too, the map to put them on the movie that put them on the map, and this yeah. seems to have gotten a better shelf life with Speed Racer. It seems like more people are finding it, and I think that's really fascinating.
Yeah, I still love The Matrix. I understand, like, the kind of world view of The Matrix is very 1999 of, like, oh, man, the real world. It's so being an office drone. Can you imagine a worse life than that? Whoa. And I get that some of that stuff hasn't aged well, but I still think watching that movie is still just a treat.
Yeah, and it's way ahead of its time, too. I mean, who knew? We're basically there almost with how much we live in the virtual world, it seems like. So,
yeah.
I mean, a great film. But Conrad just said, John and Gordy brought Speed Racer. That was their pick for the popcorn pick of the week?
Yes.
Oh, that's hilarious. All right. So, Matt, let's do this before we have to get to a break. Can you give us like an overview or like something from the Milwaukee Film Festival that resonated with you? We got how much time we got? Oh, we got to do a break. Well, we've got about a minute or so. Let's set that up in a quick thumbnail of the film festival.
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit more in depth in the festival itself, but I think a point I really want to drive in people's heads about the Milwaukee Film Festival is there are still festival movies showing at the Milwaukee at the Milwaukee Film Theaters, the Oriental and Downer Theaters, Secret Mall Apartment, which was one of the kind of favorites. Documentary about a bunch of artists who put a secret apartment inside of a shopping mall. Right now they're showing The Shrouds, the new David Cronenberg movie. They've got Holy Cow. I believe they're going to be bringing back their closing night movie, Jane Austen Wrecked My Life. So if you missed these movies at the film festival, keep an eye on the Downer and Oriental's listings. And then also just in general, keep supporting Milwaukee film. I don't want to sound like a shill for them, but you know, in this day and age with NEA funding and things of that nature, you know, the movie theater in business is, you know, not exactly one that's, you know, thriving and right. comfortable. You know, people need to support these places if we want them to keep existing. And luckily, they've got great stuff. Like I've said, they've got the film festival. They're doing a Gene Hackman series.
I saw that.
Yeah, they're going to have Sinners in 70 millimeter, which if you can't see it in the giant IMAX, you should see it that way. So lots of really cool stuff, lots of really good reasons to keep supporting Milwaukee film and their awesome theaters.
Let's pick up there when we come back. We're going to do the news right now. A brief intermission here at Nightlight. Matt Miller is here, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk some more about some movies. Coming up after this, it's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
But at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city. Cool town, meeting in the city, dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat.
Some of those songs make you think summer. It's a beautiful thing. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, folks. Great to have you with me. It is finally Monday, so we get to talk about all the things we love to talk about again. Music, summer music, movies, TV, all kinds of stuff. And joining us to do so is our pal Matt Miller. He's a Milwaukee film critic. You could follow him at A Man About Film on his Substack, which he does great work and wrote extensively about the Milwaukee Film Festival. Matt, you were talking about the Gene Hackman series that you're right. Milwaukee Film and with the arts kind of being under attack, and I can't tell if they're putting the feelers out to see what the reaction to that is, but I feel like more is coming. So all the more reason to absolutely support organizations like Milwaukee Film and anywhere, or if you're in Madison, like the Cinematheque, just places that celebrate great movies that aren't Marvel, that aren't huge franchises all the time. There's just really solid, great filmmaking.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we need to support the places that are having these stories being told. I mean, I saw multiple filmmakers who attended the Milwaukee Film Festival talked about this as well, that, you know, when you lose funding to PBS, to the NEA and stuff like that, that means that these documentarians don't have right. access to resources to make these important films. The best movie I saw at the film festival was a documentary about disabled people and the kind of growing right to die movement that many of them are against, the kind of assisted suicide stuff. And it, terrific documentary, absolutely not a documentary that would exist if there weren't places like PBS, like the NEA, like NIH, you know, these, I believe National Institute of the Humanities, I could be wrong on that, but, or it might be National Institute of Health, besides the point. The important thing is, you know, this is not a movie that, you know, a studio would fund or even right. small independent studios would fund, but it's important that it exists. It's a movie that can change people's minds. And that kind of stuff is being under attack right now, because when you have, you know, people cutting the budgets of stuff, it is always the arts that get attacked first. And especially when you have people with as bad taste and with as bad motivations as you have right now, kind of working the levers, in the tops of our politics right now.
You don't sound like you have a whole lot of faith that John Voight or Mel Gibson are going to be the retaining wall here for movies in Hollywood as
well. I mean, you have John Voight basically like pushing in this like idea of tariffing movies, and everyone at first was like, well, that seems like terrible news. And then the thing that relaxed everyone was being like, how is that even possible? Like, you can't right. tariff a movie. They're right. not shipping in crates of these movies. So, I mean, that's a whole other thing. But yeah, I'm starting to think that maybe the star of a movie franchise in which you got punched in the face a whole lot, he might not be the greatest representative for Hollywood's needs and wants.
Right. All right. So before we move on to some other movies, Matt, I love that the Milwaukee Film Festival is like 2 weeks long because it gives you so many opportunities and they replay a lot of films. I feel like you and I have gotten like a month worth of material out of this because we did a build up, then we talked during the festival, and now it's over and it's unbelievable. What was, you mentioned a film you said that was your favorite. Give me another one. Give me a favorite movie and a favorite non-movie event that you might have attended if you did, if you had time.
Yeah, so I mainly do the movies. Okay. So I will say that. So, but I really, like I said, Life After, tremendous documentary about assisted suicide in the disabled community, and their kind of pushback against these kind of, you know, quality of life arguments that are being made, especially in Canada. It's mainly a Canadian set documentary. That was really terrific. I already talked about Secret Mall Apartment as well. Really charming, quirky story that also dives into, you know, the idea of what is art and what is meaningful in these kind of public spaces. Really liked that as well. And a divisive one that I really liked was called Volcano de Zora, which is this extremely dark kind of buddy comedy about two guys who go onto a hike into the woods with a very bleak goal in mind at the end of their hike, and things go crazy. I totally get why people wouldn't like it. It's a very dark movie. It's very naturally paced too. It's not like a funny ha-ha movie. It is kind of very natural in its pacing and in its tone.
Some Deliverance vibes there, maybe?
A little bit. It's a very odd duck. And it's the kind of movie that makes me glad that we have the Milwaukee Film Festival. And if I'm talking about things I just loved about, I cannot tell you how heartened I was by this year's Milwaukee Film Festival. Screenings seemed really well attended. The only one that seemed less than, you know, kind of a desirable amount of people was the Life After screening, which was at like 4:30 on a Monday. Like, so, you know, maybe a 4:30 screening on a Monday of a movie about assisted suicide is not exactly the kind of thing people are looking for. So, but most of my screenings were full, if not, you know, 75% full, which was incredibly heartening to see. The closing night movie, I think, was sold out, filled both the balcony of the Oriental Theater.
Wow.
I'm sure they will deliver numbers sometime this week of, you know, the total number of attendees and things of that nature. It might be down from the previous year just because they don't have – last year they had two more screens, and last year they had 100 more movies. This year was a little bit more truncated in terms of only having two theater locations. But I think this was a really energized film festival this year, which was really, really inspiring and heartening to see. They blew through their fundraiser campaign. So this is all
nice.
I've been really excited about what happened with Milwaukee Film here.
Well, you did a phenomenal job covering it, buddy. Last time you were here, Matt, I had not seen Sinners yet. And you had, and you said it has one of the, I think you were kind of lukewarm in the movie or liked it, didn't love it. I really liked it, but you mentioned a shot in the film that you said is one of your favorite shots.
The shot of the movie. It is. And I really like, that is a top five movie of the year so far for me. Full two thumbs up on Sinners.
Gotcha. So can I ask you what the shot was?
So in the middle of the movie, I don't want to, this isn't really a spoiler or anything.
Right.
It's been out long enough that I feel okay about it. But in the middle of the movie, our main character, not Michael B. Jordan, but I believe Miles Catton's character, the kind of blues artist.
Preacher Boy.
Starts singing, and he starts singing a song in the middle of this crowd, and the past and the present and the future all start intertwining inside the Duke joint that is opened up, and the camera just keeps following this entanglement of culture now, in the future, in the past, all in this one place that literally burns the building down to the ground, that literally blows the roof off the place, and then ends on the vampires looking at all of this, looking at all of this culture and being like, we want to absorb that. We want to absorb that into us, and we are hungry for that. And it is an incredible shot. It's all done in one take. I'm sure there's some technical, fanciness that they did to make it more than one shot into one shot. But it's an incredible shot. It is the statement piece of the movie. It's an incredible shot. And I think the rest of the movie around that shot is equally as impressive, whether it's the Southern Gothic gangsters opening a juke joint energy of the first half, or the vampires. I love the kind of old school, you have to ask, the vampires have to be invited. I love that brought the old vampire lore into this new vampire movie. I thought that was really cool and fun. And a good twist, instead of it being like a jump scare vampires invading movie, it becomes this kind of very smart mind games thriller. Sinner's Rules, easy top five movie of the year for me so far.
All right, that's great. Yeah, and I agree. And here's what happened when I went to see it. It was my wife and I and one other couple. We went in the middle of the day. The couple left during the credits, and
big mistake.
I know. And they were teasing it. They showed Buddy Guy playing a little bit during the credits, and I thought I really liked this movie. But the scene at the end, I'm telling everyone, you have to stay through the credits, because that scene at the end made it a home run. Like, I love the movie even more. I love how they close that movie without spoiling anything.
Arguably, that's the one thing I don't like about Sinners, is that the proper ending of the movie is not the ending of the movie. You have to wait like 2 minutes into the credits. And I'm just like, just wrap the movie up before the credits.
I don't know
why they made that an end credit stinger, essentially.
Totally agree.
If that's the biggest mistake your movie makes, congratulations. You've made a great movie.
Right. And he's fantastic, Ryan Coogler. Matt Miller is my guest. He is a Milwaukee film critic. Check out his Substack, A Man About Film. That's Matt Miller's Substack. He does great work there. And he talks with us periodically about movies and film and all things the arts, which is fun. Matt, did you see Black Bag?
I did see Black Bag. Speaking of top five movies of the year.
Okay, I'd love to hear your thoughts. I just saw it 2 days ago, finally.
I think that is perfect Hollywood entertainment. It is a very fun kind of spy whodunit. I wasn't expecting so much of an Ocean's 11 vibe.
Right.
Down to the soundtrack, the score of the movie, which I think is still David Holmes, who did the score, iconic score from Ocean's 11. I love the kind of darkly funny tone of that movie, that it is a romantic movie about these people being infidelity or not, with others. I think everyone is just throwing heat in terms of performances in that movie. Everyone is so good and so compelling. And I think that movie is one of the most entertaining things you can see this year. I really enjoy Black Bag a lot. How did you land on it?
Same. And it's not what I was expecting based on what I had read. I thought it was going to be more of a James Bond type spy thriller, but I liked this even more. It was different, and it was like this community of spies, and they talk openly about their marriages and sex and their missions and all that kind of stuff, because it's a safe space. But yeah, and I liked the love story, and I liked Michael Fassbender. Cate Blanchett was great. And it's Steven Soderbergh at his best. And I just watched Out of Sight recently. I gave that a rewatch. It didn't hold up quite as well, but I still really liked it. But yeah, I loved Black Bag, so I couldn't remember if we had talked about that or not.
Yeah, I love Soderbergh as a director, partly because he will just make anything. Like, his career is so hard to track. He's done, spy movies. He's done heist movies. He's done romances. He's done, Oscar bait with Eric Brockovich and Traffic. He's done horror movies. He did the Presence movie, which is a very good movie, just 3-4 months ago that he released as well. He did Logan Lucky, which is really fun. His career is just so zigging and zagging, but all of it's really interesting. I love seeing what he decides to do next.
Agreed. And a movie like Sex, Lies, and Videotape that put him on the map, that is just so different too. So we have to do a quick break in about a minute, Matt, but I don't want to let you go. We'll keep you for just a couple minutes after, but I really want to hear your thoughts. I have not seen The Surfer yet, and I'm dying to see The Surfer. Tell me it's good, please.
I will tell you right now, I enjoyed it.
Okay. And Nicolas Cage is good, and...
Oh, it's very cagey. It's very cagey.
All right, we have a what do we have? We have about a minute. What was it you liked about it? Was it more conventional? Because I had
very much not. Very much not conventional. For those who don't know, this is an indie movie about Nicolas Cage returning to his kind of hometown in Australia, where he wants to take his son surfing. And the locals don't let him surf because they're like, you're not from here. You don't get to surf here. And he starts having a mental breakdown. He starts losing his mind in a way that you're not sure if he is even who he says he is. And I love the kind of weird psychedelic 70s Wicker Man tone of this movie, where it's like, you know, that this man is falling apart and you're not sure if he's ever been the person you've been watching this entire time. And it's doing all these really interesting camera things that just make it feel even more psychedelic and even more.
Oh, wow.
It is a movie that feels fried in the best way possible, like sun fried.
We have Matt.
It kind of falls apart at the end, but Cage is going full commitment in this movie in the best way. He's playing a good character, but is also doing insane Cage things.
That's
that
awesome.
Only Cage would do. I recommend. Probably won't be around much longer. So if you get a chance to check out the server, check it out.
We'll have a couple more minutes with Matt. I'm going to tell you, or he's going to tell us, how Hollywood screwed up Mother's Day. That's coming up next on Nightlight.
Maybe we'll drive it, or maybe we'll settle down. She's rich, she's nice, bring your friends and we'll go.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. We are having some fun here tonight, talking summer music, and we talked with comedian Chastity Washington, and now we got Matt Miller for a couple more minutes before we let him go do a neti pot or a heating pad or whatever he needs to get himself through this this illness his wife so rudely left with him before she...
I am going to just put an IV of orange juice into my veins.
There you go.
Vitamin C this thing to death.
That's great. Matt, hey, do you have a favorite summer song, Matt?
Ooh, that's a very good question. It's not really a summer song, but like Uptown Funk sounds like summer to me. Oh, yeah. And that is one of my favorite modern pop songs. Tune. So I'll go with Uptown Funk.
Great choice. All right. In our text exchange earlier today, you said how Hollywood kind of bungled Mother's Day. I have an idea where you might have been going with that, but please tell us how this happened.
Yes. Also, I just want to say, Len Steal My Sunshine as well for a summer song. That song sounds like the year 2001, and I love it.
What's it called?
It's called Steal My Sunshine by Len.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
real moment,
one.
That song.
Great one.
So someone asked me, you know, oh, what should I take my mom to see this Mother's Day? And I looked at the listings, and there was truly, deeply nothing to take a mother to on Mother's Day weekend. It was insane to me. And yes, mothers can like all sorts of varieties of movies. I'm sure there's mothers out there who would love Sinners, who would love, you know, Until Dawn or Thunderbolts or something like that. But if you were looking for a nice, safe Mother's Day movie, something, you know, a traditional Mother's Day movie, the closest thing I could find was The Accountant 2,
maybe? No.
Like, there was nothing out there. Hollywood had a whole weekend dedicated to a holiday, and they had nothing for families or for you know, significant others to take mothers to this weekend. And this is the second time this year. They did this on Valentine's Day, too, where Valentine's Day weekend rolls around, and Hollywood released no romantic comedies on Valentine's Day. And I don't think it's, you know, convenient. I don't think it's a coincidence that these are female holidays, female kind of centric holidays that Hollywood is just ignoring. And it's just not putting movies out in theaters right now. And then they wonder why they are losing ground to streaming. Because if you wanted to see a Mother's Day kind of vibey movie this weekend, Netflix had Nonas, the new Vince Vaughn movie with like every good Italian actress also in the movie. And I don't want to say, hey, stay home and watch Nonas for Mother's Day, but what was I supposed to tell people to take their moms to over Mother's Day weekend at the theaters? This is I don't know why Hollywood is letting audiences disappear and acting like there are not audiences that want to be served. You know, did we not learn from Barbie 2 years ago that women like to see movies too? And so It was frustrating for me to realize that twice in 1 year, they utterly neglected an audience on a holiday weekend.
That's interesting. And I always used to hear that women drove the box office for years. Like, yeah. You're right. Like, you have a golden opportunity. You're not doing yourself any favors. Like, there's, on one hand, a campaign to get people back to the theaters, but you're not really giving them, are you going to take your mom to see Thunderbolts or the Minecraft movie? I mean, give me a break.
And that's again, crazy. I don't want to be, you know, basic about this and say that women and mothers can't like these movies. They like my mom. She loves Get Out. She loves The Witch. You know,
nice.
You know, mothers can contain multitudes. But if you wanted like a nice movie to take your mom to, what was the obvious option? And we saw it with Valentine's Day, where a horror movie got a big bump in box office, which never happens to horror movies, because there was nothing rom-com related out. So that was the closest thing. Literally a horror movie that was like partially a rom-com that made a ton of money for Valentine's Day because there was nothing else for couples to see. I just don't understand why they are just letting these audiences feel like the theaters are not the place for them. It is destructive to the theater going existence now and into the future.
That is why you're so good at doing what you do, Matt. I never even would have noticed that, but you're right. That's insanity. We have about a minute left, Matt. Anything you're hearing about Dead Reckoning, or what else other than Dead Reckoning are you looking forward to this summer?
I believe Dead Reckoning is premiering as we speak at the Cannes Film Festival.
Oh, yeah.
I think it looks tremendous. I'm a big Mission Impossible fan.
Same.
I think pretty much almost every movie is good except for two. And even two is at least like a weird bad movie because it's John Woo just getting a Hollywood budget and being like, I'm going all in.
Right.
But this current era has been a thrill to watch. Fallout is one of the great modern action movies, and I'm excited to see how they wrap this up. It looks like every character actor I've ever liked is in the movie as well.
Nice.
You've got the guy from Severance. You've got Hannah Waddingham from Ted Lasso. You've got Nick Offerman. You've got all of the galaxy of stars who have gotten into a Mission Impossible movie in the past. So I'm very excited for that too. And this one's kind of more for the sickos out there. There is a comedy coming out, I believe not this weekend, but next weekend, called Friendship. And if you are a fan of I Think You Should Leave and Tim Robinson's kind of weird, cringe humor, I am very excited for that movie. It is Tim Robinson playing a guy who becomes friends with Paul Rudd, and it becomes a hilarious kind of horror of comedy, a comedy of horrors after that. I think that movie looks really funny, looks like a feature-length Tim Robinson sketch, and that is 10 out of 10. I am seated. I can't be seated any more than I am seated.
I love it.
Matt, I'm excited about that as well.
That's fantastic. Get some rest. Great job as always. Always fun catching up, and we'll do it again.
Pete, I'm feeling better already. I think talking movies with you is the cure for what ails everyone.
The cure-all. All right, buddy. Thanks a lot, Matt. Follow Matt at his A Man About Film Substack. Thank you to Matt. Thank you to Chastity Washington and all your texts and calls. Let's celebrate summer. It's coming. It's only going to get better, folks. And we'll do it all again tomorrow night. We'll have Jennifer Kronk from the Ringling Brothers Museum and Greg Vadney from the RAR Museum in Manitowoc. It's all about museums tomorrow, so let's do it up. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin. I'll take it to your best friend's house, Mama.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.